Father, Lord God, we just thank you for our brother, Lord God. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would just anoint his body, Lord God, that it would fill him up, Lord God. Father, that every word he utters today, Father God, would be of you, Lord, that it would feed our spirits, Lord God. It would mature us. It would make us just be excited about you, Father, who you are and what you are and what you're going to do through us, Lord God, through this word. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that we would run with this word, that we would use it to multiply your kingdom, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Sarah. Just a quick update on the mission team. We've seen that list. Could you put the names back up of the mission team, please? Anyone that's interested, and we should all be interested in this, that they're getting two updates a day. It's being put on our church website. So anybody who wants to keep up with the missions, just go onto the church website, and anybody that wants to share something, they're sharing it twice a day. And keep everybody. The last one I heard was that, by coincidence somehow, Brian Wilkerson just happens to be look like some politician that's there right now. This guy's poster is everywhere, everywhere. And when Brian comes in, they think it's the same guy, so he's opening doors just by walking in. But they're ministering all over the place. They're going to have service this morning. It's basically the same time we are, but there's a time difference, so it's going to be a little bit later. I heard they were up kind of late last night. Ray Maldonado was doing a troubadour skit, singing in some bar there. They crowded a bar out. They took a bar over or a cafe or something, and Ray was holding a music session there. So I'm sure they got up late, but they're going to do a great job. So keep them up in your prayers, all right? Amen. I would like to start off this morning by reading a psalm. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. That was, of course, David. What a great explanation of God. What inspired him was to know that God was everywhere. God is all-knowing. God is all-wise. God never forgets us, but sometimes we forget him. He is always available, as we just read there. All we have to do is seek him. In Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. You will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. all your heart and all your soul. We are to seek God. Why? That's what we've been talking about all year. That was the theme that Pastor John was given by the Holy Spirit for this body, for this year, to draw closer to God, correct? In Psalm 73:28, "But as for me, it is good to be near God." That's why we want to draw closer to God. It's good to be near God, correct? So that's what we've been speaking about, correct? Let me give you a little demonstration. Everybody up for a demonstration? This is a demonstration on growing closer to God. Right now I'd like to call God up, played by Kenny O'Rourke. And I'll play myself. How you doing? Anybody sitting here?
No.
You mind if I sit there?
Whatever.
Okay, thank you. How's it going?
It's going.
Good, 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 good. I always thought you were bigger. Everything going well?
As well as can be expected.
Good, good, good. How's the wife and kids? Oh, sorry. You got the time?
I'm outside of time.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. I'm sorry. Well, it was good seeing you. You know, I'll see you around. Adios. All right. Thank you. Give Kenny a hand. Couple questions. Was I close to Kenny? I was sitting right next to him, right? I couldn't get any closer without sitting on his lap, and he didn't have a white beard, so I wasn't going to do that. That's why when we speak about getting closer to God, we're not talking in the physical. We're talking in the spiritual. Remember, we're spiritual people. Like Kenny's famous rope that's 400 miles long with a little bit of tape on the end. The tape is just our life here. It's the hereafter that counts. The supernatural is a lot more important than the natural. In the natural, I was close to Kenny. Anybody ever go to a football game, any kind of a rock concert, anything? You sit next to somebody, don't you? I mean, you're crammed in with them. Flying on an airplane, you're crammed in with them. Do you get to know them? No. You're close to them. You might learn a couple superficial things. What's your name? How's your kids? You know, that sort of thing. But do you really get to know them? No. I could have sat there all day and not got to have known God just by sitting next to him. What we're talking about is having a personal relationship with God. Totally different. This is in the spiritual, a personal relationship about God. You know him. You have a relationship with somebody. You know all about them, usually, don't you? It's not superficial. It's the same way with God. And he definitely does want to have a personal relationship with us. Our relationship begins when he calls us. Our relationship with God begins at the very moment he calls us. We don't call him. Who here has God's number? But he has your numbers. You're here because he called you. In John 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up that last day. He's already called us. Next, he calls in James 4:8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. After he calls us, he expects us to take the ball and roll with it from there. He expects us to exercise the initiative closer to him. That's why it says, come near to God. We have to come near to God, and he will draw closer to us. But remember, the verse I read before that, he initiated it. He called us. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. Do we want to have a personal relationship with him? Get to know him. Get to know everything about him. I doubt that we can get to know everything about God. But as that psalm I read, he knows everything about us. I don't claim to know much, but I learned one thing today. The smallest girls have the biggest voices. Amen? Didn't they do a great job up here? Everybody was on the worship. Stand up a minute. Everybody was on the worship team today. Stand up. Give them another hand. They deserve it. This wasn't the ideal situation today, and they stepped in and done a great job, right? Like Alex said, it's the Holy Spirit. That's what counts. As long as the Holy Spirit's in the house, everything is going to go great. Right, Joe?
That's right.
Amen. So what we're going to talk about today is having a closer personal relationship with God. I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to give 8 little tips that will help us grow closer to God. All right? Who does want to grow closer to God? I do think that we all do, right? We want to have a personal relationship, get to know him. There are some ways that we can do that. If we're not getting close to God, it's not God's fault, right? It's our fault. So we're the ones that need to change and maybe correct a couple things. I'm going to throw out 8 tips that will help us get a little closer to God. 8 ways to have a personal relationship with God. Number 1, study the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Proverbs 3:13-15. Blessed are those who find wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? God. So what are we doing? We're finding God. Those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her, speaking about the Word of God. The Bible is more valuable to us than all the rest of the books in the world put together. It's priceless. It's God's instruction manual on how we are to live our lives, what we are to do, how we are to interact with other people. It tells us everything. God leaves nothing in doubt in our lives. Now, if we have such a great gift, do we use it? Look at that word. Study the Bible. Do you know nowhere in the Word does it say to read your Bible? God doesn't want you to read your Bible. You read a newspaper. You don't read the Bible. You study it. You learn everything that you can from it. And you will never exhaust it. Like I've said, I've never been in a graveyard that had a tombstone that here lies Donovan. He died from too much Word. You can't get too much of the Word. Don't worry about that. But there's nothing more important than studying God's Word. And then I would have to say, of course, obeying it. I don't have to say that, right? All right. Second thing, prayer. Donovan, you stole most of my stuff today during class. We always joke, anything that goes on in class or anything, it all combines. It's all the same. You know, if you didn't know better, you'd think it was God. It's the same Spirit leading in everything, correct? All right, so the second thing is prayer. John 16. Everybody's heard this one, but listen. John 16:23-24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We'll just stop there because that's where most people stop. Whatever you ask in my name, you'll get. All right. Is that true?
No.
Apparently you don't have a Cadillac in your driveway, right? Of course not. So what's God trying to tell us here? He explains it. Let's go to 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. And this is what we're talking about, approaching God, getting closer to God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, right? But He loves us. Why wouldn't He give us that? If your little daughter there asked for the car keys to your car, would you give them to her? What? You don't love her? Of course you love her, and that's why you wouldn't give them to her, right? God is the same way. He knows that there's certain things that we can't handle, certain things that even though we think are good for us, aren't really good for us. The most important thing, He says, is to build my kingdom, and I'll take care of everything else. Those are words we should always remember. What we're talking about, too, in prayer, Donovan covered it very well this morning. If you missed a morning class, try and come out for those classes if you can make it. They're great. We have some great teachers up there. We're talking about prayer. What we're talking about is talking to God. That's all. No big show. Don't wear ash cloth and put black on your face and fast for 400 days and cry and wail. We're talking about having a personal relationship with God. Talk to Him. You know, He never sleeps. We do, but He never sleeps. He's always open for business. He's like White Castles. He never closes. And we have to believe that He hears us. Sometimes He doesn't answer. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't hear us, does it? And we go to prayers. Prayer is just talking to God, like I said. And don't always go with a request. We all have friends, acquaintances, relatives, somebody we know that the minute they call us, what's he want now? The only time he calls me is if he wants something, right? We all have somebody like that in our life. You don't want to be that person in God's life, do you? Don't go to him when there's a problem. Go to him all the time and thank him every morning. If nothing else, it's for the next breath you have, right? There's no guarantee in that. Amen? All right. Number three, love God's house. Now, I'm sure we hear all the time, study the Bible, prayer. We see that on every list. Only makes sense, and it should be there. Love God's house. I'm not talking about the church. Love God's church. What's the church? Every one of us sitting here, the people, you're absolutely right. That's God's church. Well, I'm actually talking about His physical house, this building. Word says to love it. Psalm 5:7. But if by your great love can come into your house in reverence, I bow down towards your holy temple. Psalm 26:8. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Now, the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. God is in us. We take him with us everywhere that we go. He's with us. But there's just a special anointing on a building that's set apart for God. His house. This is his house. This isn't Pastor Don or Pastor John's house. He'll be the first ones to tell you this is God's house. They're the gatekeepers. Amen? But it's just being, there's an extra feeling of his presence here. We should always want to be here. Example, Pastor Don. He's like Quasimodo in Notre Dame. He's crawling all around the rafters of this building all the time. When I'm out driving, I'll stop by sometimes, just drive by to see if, you know, the building's here, burnt down, doors are closed, something like that. A lot of times, late at night, I come by and his car is outside. He must live here more than his first home. Why? Because he loves this place. He loves being in God's spirit. Just as in the Word, it talked about a young man that used to hang by after God's Spirit had even left the tent of meetings, right? He would be there, just waiting, just getting that overglow. We should be the same way. We should not We should be just expecting something great to come in here because this is where God's Spirit is. We should always want to be here, be part of this. Whenever there's a service, I realize, and I can't make every service either, but whenever we can, we should be here. Sarah up there, she lives in Commerce Township. I think that's in Ohio, isn't it? I don't even know where it is. But you ever notice she's always here? She is always here. She wants to be here in God's house because she loves being in God's presence. That's what builds her up and able to do the crazy works the pastors asked her to do. Here, part of the part of her anointing was when Pastor John told me this story that when the mission team was leaving, they ran into all kind of difficulties. The plane wasn't leaving on time, so everybody starts praying. Sarah, of course, prays, but more important, she grabs that phone. She was calling everybody. I think she called the president of American Airlines. She got some movement. They actually got on the plane. A plane that was supposed to leave without them because they were late was held for 2 hours. Didn't have to. So it was rough getting there, but once our team has got there, things are really smoothed down, and God is moving, right? But we need to have a reverence and love. You know, there's some of us that live two blocks from here can't get here as much as Sarah does that lives 4 million miles from the place. Amen? The walls over there, they live in Ohio or something too, Toledo, isn't it? But they're here because they want to be in God's house. God's presence is here. We want to be in God's presence. Number four, meditate on God's creation. Not the one sitting next to you, not his people, but his creation. Go let you in on a secret. God created the world, everything that's in it. God created the universe and everything that's in it. God created the universe. God created everything. But just like when you look at a painting, you ever go to a museum and look at a painting? Looking at something somebody has created tells you a lot about the creator, right? Have you ever looked at an abstract portrait, say, of Pablo Picasso? It's just weird. And if you know anything about his life, he was weird. All right? You read a great book, it tells you something about the author. The creation talks about the creator. And there's two main ways that God shows his love, God shows us his face. And that's through his written word and his creation. You can be anywhere in the world. You can be on a little remote island somewhere off Borneo and still see God's presence every day in that sea going, the moon coming up, the stars. What God created is beautiful. Amen? So we need to stop sometimes and take a look at that. God loves us and created a beautiful earth for us to live in, right? Now I'm going to give you a couple things. Those are things we should do. Now I'm going to give you a couple of things that we shouldn't do. Because there's certain things that we do that keeps us from having a personal relationship with God. Right? And we don't want to do that. In other words, there's things we shouldn't do. How many people know there's things we shouldn't do? Amen? Not everybody raised their hand. Okay. Number five. Stay away from bad influences. Stay away from bad influences. Sometimes these great words sound so simple, but yet when we try and do them, they're so hard, aren't they? In 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. Say, great guy like me, just all wonderful and filled with the Holy Spirit and everything, just wanting to do some great things. I have 6 unsaved friends. I'm going to win them over. You know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to hang with them day and night. They'll see God in me. And they will all change and be perfect just like me. You come back in a year, there should be now, instead of 6 unsaved and 1 saved, there should be, what, 7 saved people? No. What the word is telling us here, you come back in a year, there's going to be 7 unsaved people, including me. You start hanging around, that's what you're going to start acting like. Bad company corrupts good morals, right? If it was the other way around, all we'd have to do is go to a shopping mall, sit down, and let our presence just change everything. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But that's not how it works, I'm afraid. We have to be careful of the bad influences. Carefully choose your friends. Your friends say, I think I've heard that at every funeral I've ever been. Well, I didn't know the man that well, but you can tell a lot about a person by the friends he keeps. Have we all heard that? And it's true. We can. The friends you keep mean a lot. You think people judge you by who your friends are? Yes. Do you think the fact that you being a Christian, people are going to judge that? Yes. Because the minute you open your mouth and say you're a Christian, you have a bullseye on your back. They're looking at you. They just want to find you doing something wrong. Why? Because it makes them feel better. Oh, it just like he said, it justifies their sin. A sinner is always looking for justification, right? That's why drunks hang together, perverts hang together, right? It's a fact. We just look for somebody that believes the same way we do. And we should do the same thing. We should be in good company. And good company is what? Fellow Christians. We're to go out in the world. If I wanted to get those 6 unsaved people saved, how I do it is one at a time. You don't jump in the middle of them. You don't become part of them. You get them one at a time and talk to them. And then they'll start seeking you out. That's how you change somebody. In Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. We can be led astray. Don't ever get that confident in your Christianity that you've arrived. You haven't. You never will. That's where sanctification comes in. It's an ongoing process till the day we die, right? Amen. If I didn't have God in me, I'd be right back to the things I used to do. I'm not a better person. I just have God in me that makes me a better person. Amen. That's what counts. And we need to make sure that the people that we associate with are the same way. Those that we lend our name to. I won't even name the charity, but my wife asked something about a charity the other day. I said, well, I don't give to them anymore. I found out that they support abortion. I don't. So I don't want my name associated with them. I am not going to give them money. They do thousands of great things. One bad. Doing 1,000 great things, does that justify the one bad? No, it does not. So I don't send them money. I don't associate. I don't put my name with them. We have those decisions all the time, every minute. Our life is nothing but a series of choices and decisions. You wouldn't be here unless you made some decisions this morning about getting up out of bed, getting dressed, brushing your teeth, coming here, right? Everything is a decision and a choice. Making the right choice is not as hard as it. We can sometimes say, well, it's so hard to know what to do. That's a cop-out. We usually know what to do. When we're in sin, do you think somebody had to tell us? Each and every one of us, before you were saved, did somebody have to tell you you were a sinner, Donovan?
No.
You knew. No, nobody had to tell me. I had a sign. I wore a sign that said, I'm a sinner. I liked it. Make the right choices in who you hang with, the friends that you keep. Right? That's important. If you're making those choices and the bad influences aren't there, it's going to be easier to get closer to God, to have a personal relationship with Him. Number 6. Stay away from materialism and an overly busy life. Now, nobody has that problem, do they? Nobody has. Linda, you have a busy life? Well, she's the only one. None of the rest of us do. No. No. Let me read something here. 1 Luke 16:13. Can't even read my own writing. Luke 16:13. No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, money is not a sin. Money is a piece of paper. Paper cannot sin, right? It's a thought and idea and motive behind it and what it leads to. And what does it lead to? Nothing. What's important is what it leads us away from, and that's God. You're chasing money all day. That reminds me of a story. I remember this rich guy. My granddad told a story. He was a minister. He told a story about a rich man that lived in his town. It was a small town. So rich was probably that part of town having $5 in your pocket. But no, he was really rich. He owned a store, and he was the assistant mayor. He was really well-to-do. He came to my grandfather and said, I want to be a part of your church. Probably the reason, because, you know, a lot of the influential people went to that church. He just wanted to be a part of that. But he said to my granddad, I can't do much in the church, though. You know, I'm a busy man. I am a very rich and wealthy person. I have all kind of holdings I have to deal with. So I really don't have time to do anything, but I can write a big tithe check. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of pastors who say, come right in, brother. Bring your ink pen. Right? My grandfather said to him, you know, I really appreciate it, but I don't think this is the best church for you. He said, there's a perfect church for you. It's about, he gave him directions, maybe down here, turn at the rock, make left at the mule with a bad leg or something. This is out in the country. He, rich guy, gets in his Cadillac, drives down, pulls up in front of this, and looks, the church is closed. It closed 3 years ago because of lack of workers. People that were willing to just do God's work. That's why God says, the first thing you need to do is build my kingdom, and I'll take care of everything else. Not a one of you ever earned anything that you have. I don't care how hard you worked. God gave it to you. Everything that we have, God gave us, right? He gave you the ability to work for it, if nothing else. We should get up every morning and thank God for that. Not what we have, but for what he gave us. There are places that if they have a piece of dirt to eat, they're happy. There are places that bad. If nothing else, thank God that he decided to put you in America at this time. You could have been born any time in any place. Right? No matter how bad we have it, somebody else has it worse. You're born naked, you're going to leave naked. You can't take anything with you. Has anybody ever seen a hearse with a Brinks truck behind it? You know, even if they buried the treasure with you, as soon as everybody leaves, there's eight guys running out there with a shovel to dig it up anyway. You can't take it with you. It's only the material things that you store up here is the spiritual things, what you've done for God. He's blessed everybody here. We could just look around. I'm not even going to go into the stories. There's story after story. Wendy could tell you all kind of things, couldn't she? How she's been blessed, her and Marty. Every one of us have that. But we know it's God that's doing it, isn't it? It's not us. No. Build my kingdom, and I'll take care of the rest. That's all we have to remember. Number 7. Ooh, this one scares me. Beware of satanic and demonic influences. Again, this is a spiritual battle. These things are real in the spiritual, right? You know, I love some of these research and studies that they do. They asked how many people believe in angels. You know, it was something like 70-80% of people believe in angels. 10% believed in demons. Huh? More people believe in angels than they did God. Less than 50% believe in God. More people believe in angels but don't believe in God. Does that make sense, Alex? No, it does not. But that is Satan's greatest trick. Not to show you how great and wonderful and powerful he is, to show you that he doesn't exist. You don't have to worry. There's no such thing as Satan. That's just a myth. Don't worry. There's nobody with horns and tail and a little pitchfork running around out there. Don't worry. That's just silly. You got nothing to worry about. You have plenty to worry about. The supernatural is real. Very real. These things have influences over us, whether we want them to or not. The only thing that stops us and protects us is what? Prayer, God, Holy Spirit, absolutely. The good spiritual things. Ephesians 6:11 and 12, one of Eddie's favorites, right, Eddie? Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil is always scheming against you. You know, the devil doesn't hate you. He doesn't care enough about you to hate you. Time is on his side. You're saved now. Okay, he's lost you. How old are you?
23.
23. My shoes are older than that. 23. He's saved. You know what Satan says? That's good. No problem. I'll be back. Time's on my side. We'll see how you last. I'll come back at a more opportune time. You're all built up right now, feeling good and everything. There'll be a time you're low. I'll be back. Don't worry. That's how he operates. And believe me, he will be back. Like I was saying, he doesn't care about us. Only thing he cares about is if this young man just sits here the rest of his life and doesn't do anything. I've lost one. There's billions and billions of people for the devil to go after. I've lost one, no big deal. But the minute this young man starts to stand up and bring other people to the Lord, steal other people from Satan, then he's got his eye on you. Then he's going to try and intervene. Then he's going to try and stop you. Sometimes when to worry is if everything's going great. Did you hear that, Sandy? The only time to worry is when everything's going great, because, gosh, I must be doing something wrong. Just like the mission team, when they went out, all the trouble they had leaving, getting out of here. Why do you think the enemy wanted to stop them from going down? Because he knew they're going to touch lives, right? When you're out winning souls for the Lord, he's going to come after you. But we don't have to worry. I'm going to let you in on one more secret. I cheated. I went to the back of the book and read the ending. We win. Amen. So don't worry. Don't worry. I like some people that say, I only believe in what I can see. Have you ever seen the wind? Anybody here ever seen the wind? Have you ever seen time? Have you ever seen time?
Going by.
At our age, we ain't going to see much more of it, but you got a wristwatch on there. So you must believe in time, right? You believe time exists, but you can't see it. The same way in the spiritual, in the supernatural, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes you don't see it, but you feel the effects. You'll feel the effects of a strong wind, won't you? And as my old body stands up here, you can see that you're going to feel the effect of time, right? But you're not going to be able to see it. That's in the spiritual. Even though we don't see the spiritual aspect, the demonic, it's always there, and it does affect us. The only way is to stay closer to God. Get closer to God, right? Have faith in God, not fear. Don't fear these things, because usually Satan doesn't even have to step in. We're our own worst enemy. Most of the things we've done wrong is not his fault, it's our fault, isn't it? He might do 10% of the work. The other 90% is our own selves. Now, I'm going to give you the good news. What is the ultimate and most powerful way to get closer to God? Now, don't spread this around. This is a secret. Don't let it get out of here, okay? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. That's our greatest defense. That's our greatest way to get closer to God. Without the Holy Spirit, everything goes through the Holy Spirit. Everything. The more Spirit you have, the more you can do. Let me read you Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's only one prerequisite for having the Holy Spirit: being saved. That's it. If you're saved, you can receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, are you going to heaven? Somebody answer. Can you go to heaven without the Holy Spirit? What'd you say? Yes. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's the sacrifice that Jesus made. But without the Holy Spirit, you'll have no power here to do anything. Jesus said, "I'm leaving so someone greater will come, so we will do greater things than Jesus did." How many here believe they can do greater things than Jesus? It's hard to believe, isn't it? But it's the truth. Jesus was only in one small area and touched one small group of men. Think of how much more we can do with the Holy Spirit in us, the people that we can touch. The Holy Spirit can go anywhere and do anything, right? We need more of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, 6 through 9, "The mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Peace. How many people here want peace in their life? More of the Holy Spirit, that's the answer to peace. "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." Trying to live a Christian life in this world without the Holy Spirit is like a blind man trying to live in this world. Because let's admit it, this world is meant for sighted people, isn't it? Everything is designed for people that have sight. If you don't have sight, close your eyes a minute and imagine how limited you would be in your ability to do anything. It's hard. But you're doing the same thing in your Christian walk if you don't have the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you. You're blind. Don't be blind. More of the Spirit. Amen? Oh, those are eight little tips of things that we can do to grow closer to God. But the most important is, remember, it's your duty to do it. Everybody is an individual in here, and you have a different individual way that God treats you. Those of us that have children, we treat each one a little bit different, don't we? Because they're a different person. Everyone in here is a different person. God's going to treat you a little bit different, but you can all have a personal relationship with Him. Know who He is, to walk with Him, to understand Him, to have faith that He has the best in store for us. No matter what happens, He has the best in mind. Amen? All right. Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Kenny, come on up and close us in prayer, would you please?
Can I have the prayer team come up? All right. Good word, Bob. Good word. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word that came forth, Lord God. Pray that we just take it to our heart, Father God, that we would meditate upon those eight things, Father God, that were brought forth, Lord God. Not just be something that we've seen on the screen today, but, Father, that we would apply it to our lives, Lord God. That we consistently seek You out, Father God, that we draw close to You, but not just draw close, but we enter into that intimate relationship with You, Lord God. And for that, Lord God, we give You the glory and the power, Lord God, to build Your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.